whoa. No, man, I'm seriously asking. What is this show, man? Two guys making a podcast. Got a lot to say, so we talk fast. If it's Thursday night, say Atlas. Two hosts, not miscast. Mike and Johnny, bring the bomb blast. On your Facebook feed, never bypass. Saying bad stuff, leave you flabbergast. Our smarts, not super fast. Still, much better than a newscast. Miss the live show, rebroadcast. The Tangent Podcast, never outclassed, man. Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny, bringing the schmears. Rock for rookies, represent. Let's get the show started, man. It's Tangent. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast. It's Tangent. It's Tangent. It's Tangent Podcast.
Welcome to episode 3 of season 8 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. Alongside Mike, I am Johnny, and we are coming to you with all sorts of thoughts and emotions and feelings, and it's been a hell of a last couple of days.
Hey, buddy.
How you feeling, man?
Oh, pretty good. Right? No, we had a good run this week. What do I mean by that? Hold on a second. It's been a long week too. This week for you, 3 days, for me, 2 days. I'm exhausted.
Well, there is a conflict currently going on.
So what's my issue?
Well, it takes a lot out of you.
Yeah. You know what? Like, the more you talk about it, and the more, like, I didn't even know a lot was being taken out of me until you go on Facebook and everyone's doing the whole, and it's so much, and everyone's so exhausted, and it's so hard, right? And then you're like, huh, I feel, oh, yeah. Like, everything is just a, here's what I wanted to say, to point out. We've been here, right, for the last 2 weeks. It's been, you know, every boom, every motorcycle that drives by, and we freak out, and we're like, is this it? Is this our 90 seconds? So I was talking with my boy, Karel, who lives in Otef Aza, yeah, in Kibbutz Sa'ad, and he was like, so he's been up north with his wife's parents.
Right? Oh, they left.
He said the entire kibbutz just emptied out. Why? Because while here, we have 90 seconds to get
they
to
have
safety.
Like 30.
Seven.
Oh.
7 seconds. Because I was like, yeah, you guys probably have 30 seconds. He goes, no, you hear the boom, and then you hear the boom. Like, the immediate, like, you hear the firing, and then you just gotta
shoot it, and then
once the siren goes off, they have 7 seconds. That's crazy. And I'm over here going, man, I'm winded from my insanely slow, leisurely walk to my mamad.
So that's something that I think that is worth pointing out, and something that should be said, which is, all of us go through these conflicts, and we have different we have shared experiences, and we have different experiences. The shared experiences is that our country is under fire. The different experiences is to what degree are we individually under said fire, okay? And I don't think that you should minimize how you feel about the conflict because you have a minute 23 seconds longer to get to safety than our brothers and sisters and cousins in the South. Okay? We live where we live for whatever reason and for why ever we live in those places. And I don't think that it's healthy for you to say, like, well, I've got it easy. I only have to run to my mamad that's across the hall from my bedroom, and I have a minute and a half to get there.
Right.
You need to also honor the fact that you're also going through something traumatic. To the degree to which it's traumatic, we're not here to argue that. We're not here to say who has it worse.
So
you shouldn't deny yourself the ability to internalize and to feel whatever you're feeling because somebody else has less time to get to safety.
So two things. One of them, the first one is that, Yes, but also, remember, if you feel it and it's so terrible and so bad, then maybe it should remind us a little bit that we should make a little bit more of a stink when they start firing on Be'er Sheva. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they have it so much worse than us, and they do. They have it worse. Just like realistically, 7 seconds versus 90 seconds, okay. More bombs, etc. And if we're freaking out from what we're getting now, they were getting pounded for 2 weeks before we were.
A few days, not 2 weeks.
But dude, it's all year. It's all the time. And we sit here going, "Hey, did you hear there was a rock in the south? Yeah, there was a rock in the south. What else is going on? You know what I mean?" Like, we don't make a big deal, and we should. This is basically what it feels like, is that it should be like a wake-up call to make more of an effort to help out with the South, because they're constantly getting bombarded. That was one. Number two, my boy asked me, he goes, "How are your kids doing?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, they're fine. I mean, your kids," he goes, "my kids are used to this. Your kids are not used to this, so they may be freaking out exponentially more."
Are you sure that your kids are fine? Have they expressed what they're feeling about the situation?
They seem to be more upset about eating broccoli. Like, I get more out of, like, more issues out of them.
Because I know that my child, who is very expressive
emotionally. You share? Like, "Hey, everybody, what's up? Thank you for the two people who are with us today."
I know that my child,
yeah,
who is very expressive emotionally, is really stressed out by the situation.
Okay, and how is that affecting her, other than her saying, I am having a difficult time?
1 second, I'm sharing like you asked me to.
All right, everybody, hey, what's up? Welcome to Tangent Podcast. I'm Mike, this is Johnny. Why don't you share it? I don't care with who. We're talking about you. We're talking about us tonight. We're talking about rockets and music and, I don't know, what else are we... There's so much just revolving around the rockets that it's ridiculous.
Well, I don't want to sit here...
And I do also want to say kudos on an excellent, excellently... The meme, by the way, would fit very well in our, cover picture.
Yes. What I don't want to do, I would like to talk about some of the specifics of the conflict that is ongoing, but we're hearing may end in the next 24 hours, God willing.
God willing. Yeah, it has been.
But at the same time, I don't want to sit here hand-wringing, because...
What is hand-wringing to you? What,
like,
does that mean?
Like, just like, oh no. Oh no. I've been doing that all week. Okay, I have a problem with doom scrolling, and there's a lot of crazy, not just anti-Semitic stories, just like depressing stories. There was a kid, a 5-year-old kid in North Carolina. He was kidnapped out of his bed by somebody. It's on camera, and stabbed to death and left in a heap in the middle of the street. In a little 5-year-old white kid.
Is it our fault?
No.
All right, that's...
But it...
I'm right. Kidding. I'm kidding, obviously.
And you don't
hear... What's the connection of, like...
Just, like, something terrible that also happened this week.
Because normal murder, interesting expression, normal, regular, everyday, crazy murder, what are you gonna do about it?
Oh, this story wasn't getting huge attention.
Why should it? It's not politically motivated. It's not racially motivated.
Oh,
it's
might
not
be religious. Racially motivated. They're not sure what the motivation... They got the guy who did it.
Was he a white guy or a
black
guy?
He was not.
Was he
a black guy? Yes, he was.
And he took a kid and they don't know why.
Kidnapped a kid out of his bed, stabbed him to death, and left him in the street.
That seems pretty random, and I have no real comments to make about such a situation, because other than what you told me,
what else? So shocking.
It's not shocking. There's gruesome murders every day. Aren't there like 50 million TV shows about gruesome murders?
That's a TV show.
No, I mean TV shows about actual gruesome murders. Like, that they retell. Like, that's like a thing. We've turned it into an entertainment.
Yeah, because America has this like obsession with serial killers. Like, to the point of
Joker being a number one movie?
Admiring them. Like there have been some Ted Bundy, like the only thing you would ever...
I don't think copycatting is America admiring.
I mean, they do another. There's another thing about Ted Bundy, and they talk, "Oh, Ted Bundy, what a charmer, what a genius, what a this, what a that." And it's like, he was also a fucking asshole who preyed on women and murdered a bunch of them.
Right. So he's already become legendary because it was. in the 90s already, and he was a media darling because that was the 80s. When was this? I'm sorry. I don't know.
Like the 70s.
Maybe okay, the 70s. I was off by 15 years. I was off by 15 years, give or take. My point is that we watch murders for the same reason that people slow down on the highway when there's a car accident.
Yeah, but those, the TV show murder thing, it's not usually like children. It's not usually as, well, maybe it is as brutal, but I don't know. Something about it really rubbed me the wrong way. And it was like on top of all the other things that I was struggling to try to understand. Chief of which is how much everybody hates us.
Yeah, that's been
it's been very upsetting. Like, it used to be, I felt, like, it used to be that they would say, Israel's a jerk, or Israel's this, or this. Now they're just like, you don't have a right to exist. Like, just straight up. Saying things in ways where it's like, oh, if only more of you died, then we would be...
By the way, it's not that they're saying more of you died. That's not really what their argument is. It's the way that we've been spinning the argument. They're saying 80 people died and only 70? Perhaps you're going overboard. They're not going, it would only be fair if more of you died. What they're saying is, they only killed 7 of you. Why are you killing 80? Why don't you go kill
this round of fighting, by the way.
I'm just saying that's what their argument is. Not that we should die more. That's how every Jew and Israeli is spinning it. They're saying, you just go kill 7 of theirs. They killed 7 of you. Why are you leveling 8 buildings and 14 thises and... That's their argument. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying they're going, you're killing too many people. If you look
at the statistics and the amount of...
Oh, yeah.
Ordinance that we put down on the ground. This has been like the most precisely fought conflict in like the history of warfare ever.
I mean, we always knock. Like, we always call
this
before.
This has been more than the last time, there were like 2,000 people were killed on their side.
And how? And this time?
200. It's a lot. But I'm just saying.
No, I get what you're saying. We're getting better.
It's a tenth.
We're getting better at destroying their crap.
And also, you got to understand the fact that the Iron Dome exists saves their lives, right? Because if the Iron Dome misses, if there was no Iron Dome,
yeah,
and they shot 100 missiles at this part of the country, there would be a lot more people dead on our side.
Right.
And we'd have to up the ante with our response, which means a lot more of them would die too.
Could you imagine going to Hamas and just be like, hey, we're doing you a favor? I'm sure they'd appreciate it a lot. It doesn't matter what the reality is. It doesn't matter what the reality is.
They wouldn't even talk to you. They won't talk to us.
Did you see how quick...
They won't even talk to us directly. They won't even have a conversation with us. Like, everybody is such a baby that they won't... How are you supposed to deal with people to try to give them a state? Let's say we do what the world wants
to do. I'm sure you've seen the meme with the 15 rejections that the Palestinians have made over the years.
Of course. Was there anything worth reading about in the comments
section? Well, Jay Glickman says that the story's not getting covered because a black person killed a white person, but also the black person who killed the white person is 15 years old.
I thought he was older than that. Well, whatever. He's going to go away for a long, long time. I hope he's... This kid's a monster. So again, and we're talking to people in our fan base who are... mostly agree with us. They're for sure going to agree with us about like this round of fighting because we're all Jews and we're all, you know.
I'll tell you what. Something that I've noticed, there's someone specifically, and I know it's weird to pick out one random person on the internet who you know and click on their page to see. Have you ever done that? You're like, hey, that person posts stuff all the time for every little thing. And now I went to their Facebook page to see what's going on. Way too silent.
P- People are afraid to speak out.
People are afraid to speak out. This person has family in the country.
There's a guy that I like who's an artist who has family in the country and said some of the most heinous, hateful crap about Israel that's possible. But in his defense, he's an artist that my sister and I both really like, and we have this theory about his music specifically that there's like a ton of self-loathing in it and that he kind of hates himself. So my sister said it was very much on brand that he would say terrible things about Israel because he hates himself, and we know that.
Oh, so only people... Yeah, I mean, a lot of what liberalism has become because of the concept of privilege is you need to feel really, really bad for anyone who is not living the best possible life that you are living, and so you have to find that I need to defend these people. Because they feel guilty for not doing anything to better the world.
Well, it's also the fact that...
Malia said something very interesting, and this is something you and I spoke about this week.
Okay.
Okay? Malia said, and I'm going to quote here, we can be, because we can be more precise, our kills are counted tenfold. Like a tantruming child who flails around and hits indiscriminately, we are considered the parent who should punish with time out.
How would you give them a timeout?
No, but here's the thing. It's not about how we can do it. It's what we're expected to do. And this is exactly what you and I said. And this is something that I think we have to think about. Because we said, and this is quite possibly the most racist concept that, not really, but something that most people won't admit. People expect more from us because they don't expect anything from them. Why is all the world upset with Israel? Why aren't people saying, hey, Hamas, stop firing thousands of rockets? Because they know that there's no one to talk to there.
No.
Dude, you have a terrorist.
That's so simplistic.
It's not simplistic. The entire world is blaming one side.
They don't even admit that Hamas are terrorists. Even though there's like 30 countries.
But...
Why not?
Because, it's one side.
Because the Black Lives Matter movement directly sees its struggle in the lives of the Palestinians.
And four weeks ago, you and I spoke about the fact that all the trouble going on in Chicago and all the crime that's going on in those neighborhoods, no one expects them to do anything because they don't think that there's anybody to talk to there. You can't go up to Hamas and go, hey, I know you're a terrorist. You're bent on destroying everyone. You murder people. There are pictures of you showing. No, but then what are they really going to do? Why are they ignoring it? Because they know there's no one there. And we, as the more Western world, they want to talk. They talk to us because we understand what they want.
Who's they?
America. Everyone who's angry at Israel right now is throwing all their anger at us because we respond. We know what they're talking about. We're technically a first world country. We technically share the same values. And so they're going, if you share the same values, why are you murdering all these people? But no one is going to the other side because, you want to know something? They're terrorists.
No.
It's like when people go...
I don't agree with that at all.
Nobody cares when people die in Africa. It's a thing that people say all the time. No one cares about what's going on in Africa.
Right.
Why not? Why doesn't anyone care about what's going on? Why doesn't anyone care about what's going on in China and North Korea and the rebels and the...
China.
Any place where there's stuff going on with slaughtering and murder, everyone goes, oh, that's such a shame.
They care what's going on in China up to the point where they buy Apple products. But they don't, I don't think that they, I wish that they thought that way about us.
The Chinese have a completely different culture
they
and we can't,
are accusing us of committing genocide against a nation that has increased its population exponentially, okay? There are just these leaps of lying to yourself or whatever it is that just... I honestly don't really understand it. Like, how much a person has to lie to themselves to take this in. Now, it's easy for the Black Lives Matter movement because, as we know, because we did the research, Black Lives Matter is in direct opposition to Israel because Israel is a beneficiary of billions of dollars of American military spending, and they want to cut American military spending. and they want that money reinvested in their communities and all that sort of stuff, which in theory is not a bad thing to want.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, no, but it's not, not a theory, it's a good thing.
As a result of that, that Israel benefits from this budget, the benefit, then Israel is immediately in the line of fire. With, that's even not during a time of conflict. On a regular, average, every day of the week, Israel is in conflict with Black Lives Matter.
But it's simply never because of the money. It's because the Palestinians are the excuse. It's not that we want their money.
In the writings of their own writings that I read.
That's all military, but it's all military. It's all military
anything. They single out Israel specifically.
That's interesting.
Now, they also can see themselves in the plight of the Palestinians, which is an oppressed minority that are being oppressed by yachasit, a bunch of white people, right? Because so many of us and our families came from Europe after World War II, and so we're immediately seen as the oppressor, and so they can say, well, it's cut and dry. But the fact, like, for example, the one that I don't understand is, number one, the Palestinians, Hamas, whatever, they get a lot of foreign aid, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, now more than last year.
Number one.
I mean, they haven't been getting a lot of aid for the last 4 years.
Okay. Number one, how do they pay for their bomb, the missiles?
Iran sends them the missiles.
Straight up?
I don't know.
Money, they have to pay for some of the materials to make these missiles.
I don't think so. They're puppets of Iran. They're like, we want to kill stuff. And Iran's like, cool.
Have a
rocket.
It might be.
Where would they get the money from for the last 4 years?
Number two, because they love to point out war crimes when other people, but like, firing.
They love to say the word war crimes, but did you notice they never specify what they are? You are committing war crimes because you killed someone. I'm pretty sure war is not a crime.
From what I understand, and again, I'm no legal expert, the crime is when you shoot a missile at a civilian population, that is a war crime. That is what I understand.
Okay, so then we're both committing war crimes.
In theory.
No, not in theory.
Yeah, I guess so.
Why or what's our...
Well, the thing that we will tell ourselves is that we're not doing it on purpose because we know that they use human shields. They want their children to die so that they can show it on TV and make us even worse than we are. Did you see that phone call thing?
No, I don't.
When Israel is going to blow up a building.
Yeah, they call the people.
They knock on the roof. They call the people and they say, get out. We're going to blow your building up. And the guy was saying, this is a recorded message, we'll die. And like, the soldier's like, I'm trying to save your life. It's like, we don't want to save our lives. We'll die for the cause. Your children will die. So our children will die. Now, on the one hand, you could say, holy crap, that's like a tremendous amount of commitment to your cause. But also, you could just not die.
So the famous quote by Golda Meir is, we can forgive you for killing our children, but we can't forgive you for making us kill yours.
Exactly.
Everyone in Israel, I mean, many people in Israel, many people are very, very upset about what's going on because none of us want to kill anybody.
And the thing about the vapid...
It's more upsetting to the people who do want to kill.
And the thing about the vapid, empty-headed posting from scores of celebrities, it doesn't even... What I started to notice is, like, there's an R&B singer that I love, okay? Her name is Kehlani. She posted a couple things in solidarity with cause.
I'm sorry, which?
Her name is Kehlani. Kehlani. She's not an activist, really, but she's black, and so she's part of that society, so she's part of that culture, fine. She's, by the way, an amazing singer. Just saying. So she posted, like, a couple of things about the conflict. It wasn't as bad as some of the stuff. It was mostly shared from other places.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's disappointing, but what are you going to do? But I thought about something the other day. She posted those two things,
Yeah.
And then she didn't post anything again. In her mind,
she's done her part.
She did her part. She is now part of the fight. She shared two things with her something like 12 million followers, which is an impressive number. The thing that I've been looking at that's been really depressing is when I see, you know, on Twitter, for example, if you're a
rat. Twitter must be a terrible you have place.
Well, not as bad on my feed because, again, it's curated. And I'm not specifically looking for hateful stuff. You see it anyway. Anyway, you know, the blue check means you're verified, right? So when somebody posts something that I see that's like pro-Israel with a blue check, I go and I see how many followers they have.
You know, they never have as
like
many.
70, 80, 125,000.
Okay.
Then you see like Mark Ruffalo posts something and it's like 20 million. And it's like so depressing at the amount of reach that these people have and how they're using it. And then, again, you want to talk about spreading disinformation and spreading lies. An artist that I love, Dead Can Dance. Now, they're well-known Israel haters. They've always been.
Okay.
They posted something this week, and they restricted who could comment on it. Meaning...
Yeah.
Me, in Israel, I couldn't even write a... people could comment on it, but I couldn't. And here's something that I've been doing...
That's a thing that you can do on our Facebook also. You can just, like, block via location and
stuff
like
that. So they blocked Israel from being able to post on their thing. Isn't that nice? What a nice group of people. And I sent them a message. I've been sending a lot of people messages, right? And my message is usually the same thing. It's me saying, I wish I could discuss this situation with you in one-on-one, but I'm afraid that I know that's not possible. And that's basically my... But for them, I wrote they saw it, which was... They saw that I wrote... I wrote something like, I would love to be able to have a real conversation with you about it.
No, it's from the chair.
Oh, it's from your chair. Oh, yes, God, I thought it was like some horrible bug.
We don't keep those here.
I thought it was... I said something like, I wish I could discuss this with you, but I know that's not possible because you won't even let me comment on the video that you shared. And then I told them that I'll always love their music and that I don't expect anything from them. And it's okay, by the way. You can still like their music unless, I don't know, they like rape a bunch of people. But I don't think that's going to happen with Deck and Dance.
So one of our listeners, Nathanael Kleiman, asked, he goes, listen, something that we tend to forget even when you do the knock and even when you do the phone calls, you're also telling a family we're about to destroy all your shit and your entire life and everything you have, and they're supposed to be fine with that.
They're not supposed to be fine with it. You know, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. And by the way, for the first few days when they were shooting at the center of the country, it was directly in response to the blowing up of buildings.
Right.
They said, if you blow up buildings, we'll shoot Tel Aviv. We blew up the building, they shot Tel Aviv. The next time it happened, they shot Tel Aviv again.
Right. Except...
And I was like, hey, at least they're consistent.
No, it's a terribly stupid argument. We're going to keep shooting the South. Which you guys seem to be okay with.
I know. But you just were saying how, imagine what it's like to have your building blown up.
So now we're at the stage where what? Where they've run, if they still had more rockets to shoot at the Merkaz, they'd be shooting rockets at the Merkaz.
I don't know that to be the case.
What?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. Well, you're telling me they only had 500 missiles to shoot at the, they have thousands of rockets.
Yeah, and they fired all of them. They don't have an infinite amount. They don't.
I was reading that they have 8,000 to 10,000 rockets.
We just destroyed all of their infrastructure. Most of the buildings that we took down were buildings that stored ammunition because have the videos of secondary explosions. Okay. And we took out tons of their terrorists and all of their terror tunnels. And yeah, there was Ellie showed me a meme earlier tonight that was like, it's always the same thing. The Palestinians find something that they're upset about. They make demands that are
unreasonable.
Unreasonable. We don't give in to their crazy demands. They start shooting at us. We respond. They fire lots of rockets. They run out of rockets. They start negotiations.
And then we'll be back here in a few years.
We'll be back here in a few years. You know what's crazy? Okay, so here's something that's kind of crazy. Last Sunday, every time I give a what's called a chinuch lesson, because I'm a homeroom teacher, I have 1 hour a week where I have to talk about current events, right? Current mm-hmm. events, that kind of stuff. So this past Sunday, I showed them a whole bunch of news articles about all the craziness that was going on in Jerusalem before the rockets started in the Merkaz, right?
Yeah.
And I made a point of saying to my students, I was like, listen, here's something that we have to remember. This isn't the first time this has happened, and it's not going to be the last time that it happened. And we're probably going to go through this again. What was it, 2 years ago? We had rockets, and, you know, we met, and we'll be, and it's going to happen again. And you'll get older, and you have to go through it again. And then a day later, all the rockets started falling.
The same. The
thing I'd like to think that my students were sitting in their mamad, and some little point of them going, well, it'll pass.
The thing that's scarier it always does. Is once is if we go come into conflict with Hezbollah again. Because they have way more weapons and way better weapons. Just saying, it's scary.
I have a feeling that we will not be as conscientious.
Oh, definitely not. Because
and they know that.
Hezbollah is definitely...
And they know that.
A terrorist.
Dude, we haven't even been fighting with them and they started firing rockets.
That wasn't North. Hezbollah.
That was
Palestinians inside of
Lebanon,
in like relocate settlements or camps or whatever they are. In fact, Hezbollah was like, we don't want any part of this conflict. A couple weeks, like last week, and there's the reason why is because everybody knows how intrinsically tied to Iran Hezbollah is, and Iran is currently right now negotiating the nuclear deal. So they don't want to, and they don't want to be seen as having, and they have a lot at stake for them for themselves.
Okay, so I agree 100% with what you're saying, but I do think it is super duper funny. The Hezbollah are like, hey, we're not trying to kill you now. Well, this is not our time. We'll kill you in our own time. Please don't get upset with us now, because then what are you gonna do later? Like, it's just like a ridiculous time thing. But I want to tell you about a cool conversation that I had on the Serge Tankian Facebook page.
Uh-oh.
Okay? So Serge Tankian, for those of you that don't know, and you should, is the lead singer of System of a Down.
They're Armenian, so of course...
They are Armenian.
Of course they hate us.
Okay, so what's their... Okay, what are their two main reasons for hating us, both of which are apparently extremely true? Number one, we still haven't recognized the Armenian genocide.
Which we could do if we didn't need to keep the peace with Turkey.
Turkey and Azerbaijan apparently has been wiping out Armenians in the last month and killed thousands of people. But the problem is we sold Azerbaijan a bunch of weapons and they're doing it with Israeli weapons.
That would be a problem.
Except, here's something that I need to wrap my head around. Obviously, I would really appreciate it if somebody could give me a new perspective on this, because our smarts, not super vast. So here's a little scenario that I'd like to run by you. The Armenians, and this is based on what some guy called me a fuckhead on Facebook for not knowing this, which... is literally in the theme song to our show, so I'm not that upset about it. But it goes like this. Serge Tankian posted how terrible it was that Reuters posted Armenians claim that Azerbaijan is committing or doing something. And then he crossed it. It was literally the same Hasbara stuff that we've done to Reuters that actually violated. Like, we've done it ourselves. Okay. I've seen our memes a million times. Yeah. And I was like, hey, Serge. I was like, is it possible that... you see that the media is deliberately changing and skewing things, and all of your information on Israel is from these same sources over the years? Is it possible?
No.
No, he didn't respond. He didn't respond to me. But a bunch of people were like, so somebody posted, somebody's like, what does it matter? Why can't you? You're sold the weapons, everything. And somebody else wrote, it's like, you know, America has done shitty things as well, and no one's as upset as America. Like, most of the people are crazily upset with Israel. America has a terrible... He just wrote, America also has a shitty past and have done some terrible things.
Because...
Wait. So, I was like, that's a very good point. And what I would like is that while everyone is upset with us, I'd really like it if you could be upset with us at the same level that you're upset with America for. What does that mean? yeah, you hate America, but you're still buying American stuff, you're still consuming American TV shows, and also the vitriol, the rage isn't there the same way that it's for us. Well, only the Arab country. The
problem is that...
Hold on. I want to get to my point. My burn. Yes, I had a cool, sick burn. Okay. Okay? And I was like, all I want you to do is to treat America the same way. And this dude's like, ha, you're so fucking stupid. Don't you know? We're not even allies with America. We're allies with Russia. And I was like, so what Russia... you're saying to me is that you're upset with us for selling weapons to a country that is against you, even though your allies are a people, the Russians, who have an insanely long history of murdering us and don't like us right now. It makes total sense that we're selling weapons to the people that you're against, well, because you're...
we get along with Russia.
What?
We get along with Russia.
But America does not. Right? And Russia, by the way, also in Syria, and they're the people making decisions in Syria.
Russia has a laundry list of atrocities they've committed.
But that's my point. I was like, you're laughing at me and then pointing out that your ally also commits war crimes and also kills gay people and is outlawed. Like, Russia, who are you trying to win this argument by saying your allies are Russian? They're terrible. Their government is god-awful. They've started wars in the Ukraine, and they murder people, and their democracy is a joke. Wasn't there something
a few years ago in Chechnya also?
The point is, it was like they don't see the hypocrisy of what they're... How dare you do this to Palestinians? Dude, you're allies with monsters. Monsters.
Where was that guy from?
He was Armenian. Because he kept saying we. And by the way, that was when he finally stopped responding to me. When I pointed out that, guys, the reason that we haven't recognized the Armenian genocide is not because we don't want to. It's because it would cause us more problems than the good feeling of saying the truth, of making the statement. Because that's what everyone's about nowadays. Your singer, she made her statement. She's on the right side. Everybody's statements are all that matters. Not actions, not anything that we're accomplishing, not anything that anyone's doing, but what they say they're doing. What they say they care about. We care about our people in one hand, but we use them as human shields in the other. We care about the fact that people murdered us. So who are our allies? People who murder lots of other people. Ugh. Ugh. It's total and utter hypocrisy. And I said, I was like, guys, you want us to recognize the genocide? Guess what? We can't, because decisions aren't made simply out of, oh, that's the right thing to do. It's, yeah, we could do the right thing, but then imagine the terribleness that will come with it if we start losing allies in a place that we're already surrounded by people who want to kill us.
Right.
It's ridiculous to think that we would, and it's ridiculous for them to expect us to. Ridiculous.
But they won't, they don't see it.
Yeah, that none of them see the hypocrisy.
Right.
They're just, tag me in the hashtag, tag me in the revolution.
Part of the issue with America is that the biggest atrocities that America has committed over the last 10 to 20 years were in the giant expansion of their drone bombing programs, which, by the way, was vastly expanded under the presidency of Barack Obama.
And it's starting up again.
So why is nobody going to say anything about it? Because Barack Obama's Black Jesus. They're not going to say anything bad about him, even though he did it. No, they'll blame Bush, and then they'll say, but Trump. And he'll be like...
Trump put kids in a prison, and he separated them from their parents.
Disgusting.
But Obama murdered them.
Well,
it's... Oh, you don't think that the drone attacks in Afghanistan murdered tons of people?
No, we're talking about two different parts of the world.
We're talking about murder. We're talking about governments committing murder for a good cause that nobody seems to give a shit about. Barack Obama, you just said, drone strikes were up. There were almost or no or very few drone strikes or murdering going on in other countries while Trump was in charge from American soldiers. Am I wrong? Am I right? I have no idea. It was something that I read somewhere. But, like, that's kind of my point. What do we really care about? We care about Black lives and the money going to the right places, but the person, like...
Avram says that the left largely despises Obama. I don't see that. I see them still really talking about how great he is. and everybody misses him, and oh, poor, they love the, who hates Obama on the left? Nobody, like.
Well, the left hate everybody. That's kind of, it feels like that's what Avram's saying. If you can hate Obama, who was Black Jesus, then everyone's a hypocrite and everyone's the worst ever. Who's good? Who's good? Who's left that's good?
Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo?
I don't know, I just.
He is the Hulk.
I just threw that name out there because he loves to virtue signal and be a part of. Okay, I don't want to talk about this anymore. How about that?
That's gonna cut down on our topics for tonight.
Let's talk about Demi Lovato,
who is now a they.
They them.
They them. Okay. Okay.
Here's my thing about
that. I'll take it. I don't care.
Here's my thing about that. It's look, if you want to be called something, for those of you who don't know, Demi Lovato recently.
Yesterday
is recently.
That's true.
It said that they are non-binary. I barely know what that means. The point is, they want to be referred, Demi wants to be referred to as they, them. Fine. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
You tell me what you are comfortable with me calling you and referring to you as, I will do my best to try to keep that straight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't force me to do it. Don't put legislation in the government to force me to have to comply to that. I'm a human being. You're a human being. I want you to be comfortable and feel good about who you are as a person. Tell me how I can help you do that with how you want me to refer to you, and I'll refer to you as that. It's that simple. But what I liked about it was that it was a distraction. I liked that it took away, it gave some breathing room to the situation that was going on here.
Okay. I mean, why did it make the news, though?
Because a lot of people were upset about it. Because it always makes the news when somebody that on that level of society comes out with something that is that controversial. And I'm not even here to argue whether gender constructs, whether it's real, whether it's not, whether it's this. I'm not here to argue any of that because, number one, I don't know anything about it. Number two, I've tried to know some things about it, and I don't understand half of it. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You did enough research. You did enough research on the same level as a regular deep dive.
No. But a while back, I tried to look into all the different genders. And it's after three or four, or maybe even five, it stopped making sense. Okay? And whatever. I don't, again, that could be my problem. I don't mind that being my problem. It gets to be my problem when I'm doing my best to try to meet a person at their level, and if you make a mistake, they start yelling at you. The point is that I'm going to try to.
Have you been yelled at?
No. I don't know anybody who's.
I do.
I
know a they, them.
I don't know a they, them.
I have a student that's a they, them.
I don't know.
And they approached me and they said, hey, what's up? I'd like to be called they, them. I said, there's only three more weeks of school till the end of the year. I don't teach you next year. You got it.
Why would it matter if you taught that them next year?
Because I wouldn't have to actually talk to them.
Oh.
I was like, I've definitely got this. I very rarely refer to you other than the word you or your name anyway.
I have all of one friend who's trans, and that's a she, her. Okay, I can keep that straight. But
them is also not difficult to keep straight.
No, what I've needed
it's just a grammar change. That's all.
Needed to do is just to make that conscious effort to say it correctly.
Well, it's the same conscious effort you make when you see a woman who's obviously pregnant, but you're not going to say something until they say, I'm pregnant, so you don't overstep your bounds.
No, it's the same thing. But that's the thing. Like, if you assume somebody's gender incorrectly.
Incorrectly, yes, that's a thing. If I've never met you before, and I go, hey, what's going on? And then I go, hey, have you met my new friend? She's awesome. And she goes, I'm they. You go, oh, I'm so sorry. And then you move on.
Right? Like, if you say to somebody, excuse me, sir, and they go, ma'am.
That's not going to make you want to.
No, but you're like, whoa, I didn't know.
You don't have a sign tattooed on
your... Okay, ma'am, shit, fine.
But no one's ever... You've never been in that situation.
I don't know anybody.
It's interesting how you're scared of the situation before you've ever been put into
a situation. I'm not scared of the situation. I just want to... I want to meet people at the level that they want to be met at.
And it bothers you that there's an entire culture out there that seems to not be giving people a chance.
That and what...
And you're worried you might get into that one.
That and what really bothers me is when governments try to legislate, because then you're legislating people's speech, and I don't like that one bit.
So listen, if you have to by law, wait, so if you try to legislate speech, that means you could get arrested for calling someone she. By the way, if you're using the word she, you're not even talking to the person, you're talking to somebody else about the person.
No, you're policing people. What?
If you call someone a she, and you're like, no, it's a they, you're not even talking to the person. You're talking about the person. Right?
Right.
Right? Right. Okay? So that's number one. Because if you're talking to the person, you would call them you. Always. Which means that most of this fight is a bunch of people arguing about someone else's feelings who aren't even in the room. That's number one. It's a bunch of people going, call me they, and a bunch of people who aren't even... It's like they're not even there. It's a non-issue that people are making an issue out of.
You think?
Which is absolutely crazy pants. How hard is it if you remember to call someone they, you should make an effort and everyone should be careful and it's great, but like, you've never even met these people, but you know that the anger is out there.
Right.
It's crazy. It's not...
Because cancel culture is so pervasive, and because getting it, riling up an internet mob against a person to destroy their life.
Is it
going
to be hard to destroy this person's life? No, it's going to be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Right? It's something that happens, and it's scary a little bit. Because you and I... Okay, listen, we don't have a ton of listeners. We don't have a huge reach. We love you all dearly, obviously. But we don't have a huge reach, and so... We've had this conversation on the show... We remember a few years ago we pre-canceled ourselves. Do you remember that?
Can't cancel us. We're canceling us.
We talked about it, how like one day we're going to get famous and then they're going to look through all our old episodes, they're going to find every dumb thing we've ever said, and they're going to get us canceled. And here we are already talking about the fact that we're going to get canceled
one day. I've already given up on a political career.
Why would you want a political
career? That's not the point. The point is I can't have one because of Tangent and Rock for Rookies.
Well, all you have to do is delete it now. I mean, are you trying to get into office?
No.
Okay, so
I mean, I do a great job.
I'm not...
I think I do an excellent job in politics because I'm a good person that we all think about. What are you reading?
I'm reading comments, but I'm not following them, so I'm just going to let them go. Yeah.
That's
I gotta look at my list of notes. I think I had something uplifting, but I bet I didn't.
So I said that today we were gonna challenge ourselves to stay positive. Okay?
Oh, here's another great thing. This is also super negative. Finish what you were gonna say.
Okay. I wanted to say this. Okay? It's obvious to me, by the way, that the majority of people are not terrible. Both sides, right?
And globally.
It's and a lot of people are being swayed in the wrong direction, in my opinion, obviously. Not by the people who are swaying them and posting that shit and believing with all their heart that we're terrible people. But there has been a lot of positivity also. People are helping people. Like, you know, have you guys seen those signs? And I know people are posting pictures of them. All the people are like, when you get off the bus and people are posting stickers on buses going like, the house to the left has a Miklat and the front door's open. Have you seen those stickers? Yeah. That is awesome. It's people looking out for other people who aren't themselves. Yeah, right. it's people thinking about other people. It's so great. I don't know.
And yes, by the way, Natan, I do think it should be legal to call all the women in your workplace Jenny because you don't think learning their name is important. It should be legal. You'll get in a lot of trouble for it because the company and the people around you will speak for themselves. But it shouldn't be illegal. You shouldn't be in legal trouble for that. It's ridiculous.
What I like is that they want to someone wants to legislate how we're allowed to talk, but we'd still be able to call someone a fuckhead without worrying about anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
You should, again, we've talked about this before, it's free from legal proceedings, but not free from consequences.
But a legal proceeding, by the way, if you can be fired from your job, then that seems like the job has legal precedence.
That's a private company. They can make whatever rules they want. If you don't like it, go work somewhere else. But I don't want my speech to be.
A lot of companies are moving to Middle America. I've read articles that some like places are moving to Middle America where you can still.
Why wouldn't they? There's cheaper real estate, and remotely more often than ever, and the office culture is less of a thing right now. I mean, it's coming back a little bit, and I have a friend who's I don't even know what she is, but her job deals with, like, company culture, right, and making sure everybody's on the ball and having a good time and stuff like that. And so she needs to be in the office. She needs to be around people. And I can't think of anything I want less. Even though I like people, even though I like being around people, I have no desire to return to an office environment at all. So I could work for a company anywhere, anytime, any day of the week.
I spend most of the year just praying that we could go back to school. And it hurts that we're already back.
In your situation, it's much different. Schooling as on Zoom is really difficult, and the students hate it. And my daughter hates it. She hates it.
I have, since the rockets started falling, I would say I have half the numbers in my class than usual. I have half the numbers. And it was kind of ridiculous that we made them go to Zoom while the rockets were falling. Well, on the other hand, I think it was also a glorious plan to make kids go sit in front of the screen and study. Because you know what else it is? A distraction.
From the situation.
From the situation. Yeah, but sit here for 5 hours and learn about the circumference of, I don't know, geometry. I can't even make up fake words for it. But do this. You have a math test in 2 weeks. Like, what we've been doing in school is just postponing everything. It's tomorrow. Never mind, it's not tomorrow. It's next week. All right, never mind. Rockets, the week. Like, we just keep postponing, but going, you still have responsibilities. You still have to keep going because that's what Israeli society is all about.
I still had work. Yeah. And I had to explain to my coworkers, who are all not Jewish. Oh, no, there's a handful of Jewish ones, but nobody's, like, affiliated, really. And they were, like, really... By the way, they were very kind and supportive.
Ellie, my wife, got a new job 2 weeks ago. Good time for that, too. She's been on calls where the siren went off. She goes, gotta go to the safe room, bye, and clicks. And she's only been in the company for, like, 4 days.
And yeah, I was wondering what it would be like if I had to run in the middle of a meeting. Didn't happen, but...
So Ellie had to run in the middle of the meeting, and she just 10 minutes later, she logged back on. She's like, hey, what's up? And the woman's like, what the hell just happened? She's like, rockets, safe room, worrying children. And the woman's like, oh, that's terrible. And she's like, well, we're making do. Let's get back to work.
Yeah, I was telling my coworkers about... You know, I sent them the picture of from down the street of the fire after the rocket fell in the parking lot. And, it's been hard to work on some cases because, like, it feels like it doesn't matter as much when there's something so significant happening around you. Even though I can't affect it, I can't do anything about it, I'm not going to go there, I can't talk to anybody really.
That's classic human, though. Classic human.
And I did have this, and I think we'll wind it down, but I did have this last week. So Saturday night, Hamas basically told us when they were going to fire their rockets. My daughter was with her mother. I was home alone, and I was feeling freaked out, and I called this guy over here, and he let me sleep over at their apartment last night. The room that we're in right now that we always do the show in is his safe room. I came over, whatever. We laid down. The sirens went off as promised. They were 6 minutes late. And we came...
Bastards!
Fuckheads. Right? 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 And we ran into the room, and then his daughters came in, and they were like, Johnny, what are you doing here? And I was like, I was scared. So I came to sleep over. And they were like,
okay. And immediately Shalva's like, you guys should do Tangent right now. Which was adorable.
Right. And I hope that she's just outside the door listening, but I don't think her mother would let her.
Oh, yes. I want to say something that was really cool. Okay, so I spend a lot of time on Facebook, and I think that I've pretty much figured out, like, I know what kind of statuses are going to get more or less posts, or what kind of pics. Like, I sort of figured out the game of Facebook. It's something we discussed in the past. Shalva drew the most adorable little, she got a small canvas, Johnny, that was this big, a canvas, mm-hmm. right? Actual made out of canvas stuff. She's like, I want to paint it as something. I was like, okay, whatever. And then she leaves and she comes back like 20 minutes later and she has painted the TARDIS, like the just a little square of like the front of the TARDIS. I was like, oh, that's adorable. You want me to post it on my Doctor Who group? She's like, yeah, I don't care. So I posted the Doctor Group, 470 likes.
Really?
19 comments. Oh, she's so wonderful. It's so great. And I was like, I don't understand how Facebook works at all. We didn't get 470 likes for them being born.
You know? Because 470 people didn't even see that they were born. You know what I mean? Like, the way that the algorithms work. But if you're posting in a group that is a specific group for Doctor Who fans... And what, there's got to be tens of thousands of people.
Right? Yeah, no, it was very adorable.
So if you think about it, that's actually very low engagement, right? Think about it like this, right?
Micah, by the way, when I took the picture, I made sure that my Walkways bracelet was in the screen. And I sent it to our friend Avicham, like, look at my gorilla advertising. I got Walkways.
I showed off my my Shredhead t-shirt in a corporate meeting today. It's got a three-eyed... devil guy with a snake tongue.
And the back is
I didn't show them the back. The back wasn't... The back was...
Hope is a mistake.
Yeah.
Hope is a mistake.
But I also told them about your Bet Sefer t-shirt.
Yeah, I was telling that to someone else today. It's one of my absolute favorites.
And then the guy was saying... One of the guys I was in the meeting with, he was like, you know, I've been in some groups and I thought I was talking to like a bunch of guys about like 90s hip-hop and then it turns out like I said something bad about Coldplay and boy, did they let me have it. And I was like, this is a safe space. Anytime you want to insult Coldplay, I'm here for that. And on that note, that's going to do it for us here on episode 3 of season 8 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. As always, we bless you. We appreciate you being with us, and we will be back in a couple of weeks, hopefully with less... hopefully there's a ceasefire, and that we have a safer Shabbat than we've had in the last couple of weeks.
I missed my Walkways concert.
And hopefully that concert's coming back, and we wish you peace and love and light. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.